Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to continue talking about supernatural means of divine guidance, specifically angels and signs, and we're going to get into a little bit of dreams, visions, trances, and open visions. And again, what I want to revisit is the whole concept of what is God's purpose for teaching us about these supernatural means of divine guidance. We are learning to know him internally by having our senses tuned to be able to hear him clearly one-on-one, through our solical senses being tuned to what our spirit is already hearing. So we don't want to be making a list of things that we need to do in order to be able to hear from God. Spiritually speaking, if you have been re-spirited, born again, born of spirit, you are hearing him perfectly clearly. Our problem is that we function at a soul level, a solical level. Now, there's three realms of reality and three realms to us, three layers: the body, the soul, and the spirit. And those function on three different levels: the natural, the supernatural, or solical, and the spiritual. Our spirit is communicating with God on that spiritual level. Our problem is that our soul has gotten so used to only functioning on the solical level, if at all, barely there, but is much more comfortable and practiced at exercising authority and getting its needs met by leeching off the natural realm. So you and I are not only relearning how to function on a supernatural level, but we also are learning how to function as spirit beings. What is going on in the spirit level? And that's obviously something that we can't do on our own. This is something that God is teaching us how to do. This is something God wants us all to be able to do. And the this is be able to live as a spirit on this earth who has a soul and lives in a body. Now, the boundaries of each of those, of the spirit, the soul, and the body, we have a long way in being able to clarify what those are. And for the most part, I'm not sure it's all that important to be able to distinguish between the mind, will, and the emotions, the conscience, how things function to a real specific degree. That may change over time. It may be something the Lord really wants us to get into, very specifically, how do the three function together or apart or whatever he may choose. But as it stands right now, it's not the biggest emphasis as to how we delineate specifics. So if you've been taught another way, another description, another approach, that's fine. The basic approach we want to take is that the soul, before you were re-spirited, reborn, born again, the soul was taking the role of the spirit, was filling that gap. You were dead in your spirit. You were born dead in your spirit and unable to communicate with God, spiritually speaking. And so your soul took that position and has been doing the job of the spirit in your life. What is the job of the spirit? To provide life to the soul and the body. Now, when we're functioning the way God created us, spirit, soul, and body, and a great example of that is Jesus, the life, eternal life, flows from God the Father, spirit, into our spirit, then into our soul, and then into our body. So we receive life directly from God through our spirit into our soul and then into our body. Without that, without our spirit there to receive life from God, where does our soul and our body get life from? Well, they get it on their own. Very often our body gets it on its own, and our soul gets life on its own. So when we become reborn in our spirit, and that life is now available spirit to spirit, boom, our spirit is automatically, just right then and there, receiving that life. By definition, eternal life is you receive it. But that your soul has gotten so used to doing that job of running your life, providing life to itself and to the body, that it has a hard time giving up. It has a hard time both giving up, doing it itself, but also receiving life. And God knows that. God knows that you have come up with strategies and approaches and ways of doing things that are probably not the best for you and may even be keeping you in your soul from being able to accept life through your spirit. Now, because he loves you, he's not going to let that continue. Because he loves you, he's not going to let the soul continue as king of the hill. You now have a spirit, or are a spirit being, and have received all the life you will ever receive. You've already received it in your spirit. But there's that barrier between your spirit and your soul, so that right now what you're listening with and what you're thinking with and how you're reacting and your emotions and your planners and your choosing, those are all aspects of your soul, not your spirit. Now, you have natural senses. You have soulical senses. And you have spiritual senses. We have relied on those senses that feed us life the best we can. And God has created us, each one of us, as unique beings. And so the way he has crafted your soul and your spirit together is, well, your soul and your body together is for you. And we refer to that as a temperament. And you also have physical and natural qualities that affect who you are and how you react. Now, those are of this earth. They are not a determining factor either supernaturally or spiritually. And those are things like gender and age and where you were born and how and why. Those are all things about you, but they are not you. So those general areas are important to remember when we talk about why is God wanting to teach us how he speaks to us. And his final goal is so that we will give up trying to hear him strictly on our own terms. Now, he draws us rather than drives us. So he gives us areas in our life that we have a thirst and a hunger for more of him. And sometimes those come through things we are already interested in the soulical area, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Ideas we've had, experiences we've had, draw us to want to know him better. And God uses those things. He crafted those circumstances in your life so that when you get to this point, for instance, you are ready to go, okay, Lord, teach me about this. I had this experience where I think I had an encounter with an angel when I was 17 years old. Lord, did that happen? Teach me about that. Or, Lord, I've always wanted to be able to know the future. You know, Lord, is that something you want to teach me about? Or, Lord, I have a decision I need to make about which job to take. I have two different offers, one in one side of the country, one on the other, and I don't know which to take. And each one of these kinds of situations are not meant to strengthen our soulical ability to make decisions, even though it will. But our goal, because God wants us to develop soulical judgment, we have a soul, he wants that judgment, but he wants that judgment developed under his tutelage. So when we ask him, Lord, which way do we go? Sometimes he just says, take that job, or go that direction, or this is something I want you to learn about. He sometimes gives us a straight answer. Other times, he will take us through a process of learning, and in that process, he exposes wounds so we can be healed. He teaches us about ourselves. He reveals areas in our soul where we are trying to maintain control. So he's got his own purposes for wanting us to learn and want to know about how he does things supernaturally. Now, your soul functions on the supernatural level and has authority in the supernatural realm. But your soul has absolutely no authority in the spiritual realm. Your soul cannot tell God what to do. Your soul can also not tell your spirit what to do. Now, because God is gracious, and in turn, your spirit is gracious, he is often very gentle and patient with us, which we're grateful for. So he picks and chooses how he wants to communicate with us on a per-topic basis. And very often, if we are aware of what he is doing in our lives, that he is training us and sharpening our senses and bringing us healing our wounds and helping us revealing and overcoming our flesh, those things, as we understand and participate more and more in what he's doing, we can't really say it gets easier, but it gets more understood. Because what we learn is, by experience, how much God loves us. And it's not a far-off kind of love. It's not, yeah, he saves us so that when we die we go to heaven. No, it's practical. His love for you is immediate and final. When he re-spirited you, when you were born again, that was a one-time deal. Everything else that's going on is regarding your soul and sometimes your body. Now, the body follows along. The body has very few areas or strengths that can resist the strength of the soul, let alone the spirit. And that's a whole other story. But we want to understand that right now our problem is our soul trying to remain the breadwinner in our little family. Without your spirit, you had to meet your own needs. Now that you have been re-spirited, your needs have already been met, whether you resist it or not. So our goal is to find ways to cooperate with God, learn to hear him by experience, have our ears sharpened and cleaned out, whatever needs to be done, our wounds healed, so that we can participate and join him in what he is doing in our life right now. Now, we are time-based people on this earth. Time applies to the natural realm. Time does not apply to the supernatural or the spiritual level. And go to Blog Talk Radio. I have a chart there that you can download and follow along with if you're interested in that. And again, if you ever have any problem finding anything either on Blog Talk Radio or on the website, drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.org, and if you can't figure out where it is, I will email it to you directly. This is just a one-pager, very broad strokes as far as what we are really looking at. It helps to understand some limitations of each one of those realms. The only area of us, spirit, soul, and body, that has no limitations is the spirit. When you became born again, you became eternal. And you have every characteristic that God does. What is born of the spirit is spirit. You are joint heirs with Christ and co-inheritors with him. So there's nothing in your life that is off limits to God. So hopefully that's encouraging to you and not overwhelming. Don't worry about, okay, you feel maybe like you're so far behind, whether it's your own concept of where you should be, or our example, Jesus Christ, or somebody else that you know. None of that matters, because you're right where God wants you to be. And getting somewhere, being somewhere, is not the point. It's knowing him. We want to have the same priorities that God does. And guess what? You are his number one priority. He is so consumed with you, with sharing his love in you and through you, that he spends every moment of every day arranging the circumstances in your life to bring you into a greater acceptance of his eternal life. You don't need to do anything for him. You don't need to do anything with him or in him, or you don't need to do anything. If you've been born again, you have already done it. It is finished. Everything from here on is an outwork of that act that already took place. So now we no longer work on our relationship with God because we need to, in order to have that relationship or in order to please him or in order to get rewarded. Now we work on our relationship with God because we have already received everything we need for life, for godliness, for eternity. You can relax. You don't need to do anything for God. You don't need to know anything more. If you never progressed, went another level, you know, achieved your purpose, whatever it is that is stressing you out, if you never make another scintilla movement in that area, that's fine. You're off the hook. Because you've already received Christ's reward. That inheritance is yours right now. So what does that change for you? Is that disappointing? Were you building your life and your doctrine around working for God or serving others to please him or serving others, period? Or is it such a relief that to know you are already fully accepted and you can't get any more accepted and you never have to do anything else except bathe in his love? Everything else is gravy. But this is where spending time with him and allowing him to reveal himself to us, sometimes without our even knowing about it, this is where he starts to crowd out the effort of our soul to meet our needs and replace it with true eternal life. Sometimes he puts his finger on things that we know we are fighting him about, and he is clear about, okay, this is what's going to happen. But a lot of times he changes things in our lives. He heals us. He changes our beliefs without us even knowing about it. Sometimes things that used to bother us don't bother us anymore. Things, making decisions, making plans, changing gears, people, dealing with people, relatives especially, all of a sudden they're not that big of a deal anymore. Or we don't feel as overwhelmed by thinking about knowing God. And don't think, okay, I can do this. Guess what? You're already doing it. Your spirit and his spirit are one. It's your soul, it's my soul, that is putting up a fight. You could say your soul is the resistance army. And God's spirit and our spirit are the liberators. And he's come to liberate us, but we have gotten so used to resisting that we have instead become fighters. We now see ourselves as one way, and that is resisting God, resisting peace and comfort and relaxing and accepting life. We have a ways to go, but we know that God has your training and my training set on a particular path, and he knows, and your spirit knows exactly what that path is. So we can trust him that he will have you ready for what you need tomorrow. He will have you ready for what you need today. Our goal is to be willing participants in it. Let's just finish up what we started last week about fleecing. And to sum up, just to remind you, the whole idea is to be real clear about what we hear from God, how we approach knowing him, that he's not looking for us to come up with formulas. And our approach to how God did things, in specifically in the Old Testament, he does things differently now because we are born again. When Jesus was here, when he was born, when he ministered, that died and rose again, he changed everything. It's a new age. God has a different relationship with us now. And when we try to carry God's old ways of doing things into this new age, it is just another way of trying, of our soul trying to maintain control. In the Old Testament, the soul was all we had. Before we were born again, the soul was all we had. But now we have eternal life. So our goal is not to learn what techniques work best to get God to guide us, but to recognize that our God-given need for his direction is used by him to foster our dependence on him. So we acknowledge and submit to his sovereignty, knowing that he loves us, that he has met our needs and is working on our behalf. He is working for us, and that we have even agreed to what he's doing in our lives. And we allow him to encourage us and strengthen us in whatever way he chooses. Because that's what fleecing was all about for Gideon. It was not about getting direction. That's what we want to understand. So don't try to use those techniques and say it's fleecing, say it's scriptural, based on this scripture passage. It's not. Gideon already knew he had heard from God. God had told him what to do. He had already had experiences. The fleecing was that he needed encouragement. And it's fine to need encouragement. But let's just be honest. Lord, I need encouragement. So we will pick up there here next week, talking about dreams visions, trances, and open visions. And then we'll be moving on to responding to and interpreting supernatural means of guidance. So we'll get down to some nitty-gritty little things. And hopefully you're talking to the Lord about those things that are interesting to you and asking him if those are things that he wants to be teaching you about. And I encourage you to spend some time every day talking to him, setting aside, Lord, how can we do this? What is your plan for me? Are there books you want me to get? Are there conference tapes, any other area that you want me to learn? Or perhaps you already know what you should be doing. Start doing it. So, again, you can get in touch with me at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.